And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High God. In addition to that, Wednesday night, Minister Keno was sharing with us. I don't know, he may be going out to teach the kids. There was a lady who was coming in for her chemo treatments at Kaiser. And so he would just fast forward, not try and add or take away, but he would minister to her. And it got to where they established a connection. And so she was sharing things with him. And to me, from what I took from it, she wanted to be healed of the cancer. So she would come in for her treatments. And when she would come in, she would look for Minister Aquino before she goes into her treatments. And so I guess after a while, things went on, and she came one day, and Minister Keno, I think it was the day where he wasn't around, but in the staff meeting that they had, one of the workers shared with everybody that was there, Minister Keno included, that that lady who had been coming for her chemo treatments was healed of cancer to the glory of God. And I believe she was looking for Minister Aquino to share it, because the prayers of the righteous, they avail much. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he did back then, what he did, what we read about in his word, he's still well able to do today. The reason we don't see much of it is the same reason Jesus could go into a place that was familiar with him and he couldn't do many mighty works, because of the people's faith, not because of God's power. And so, you know, what I'm not saying is that it's always the case that if healing doesn't manifest immediately, that it's because you don't have faith. Because I have believed God for healing, and it didn't manifest. Now, I believe God for healing. I've seen God raise people from the dead, and I've seen people who actually died that I prayed for. And it's not about me, but I'm just sharing. I've been in pain and sickness, and it was like, come on, Lord, come on, Lord, come on, Lord, especially in the area of the knees. It took me going to Miracle Healing Victory prayer cloth service and just being in a service with Pastor Benny Hinn, where the anointing was so strong, I recognized it right away. Man, he is moving in the anointing. And all of a sudden, he began to speak, and he started to talk about, you know, if you have arthritis in your knees, pain in your knees, get up and start doing things that you could not do. Well, I jumped up. Praise God. And I knew that I was healed at that moment. And so I had believed for healing long before that. As a matter of fact, I even went into surgery. It was in April, I believe, of 2013. Minister Posada here, he's busy. Sister Lauren here, she's busy. Okay. I think they got married in 2013 or somewhere in there. It was that same year. What year did you get married? 2013. Okay, thank you. Love you. It's so precious. In 2013, I had surgery on my knee, and the doctors told Pastor Lucia. He didn't say anything to me, because when I came out from under that anesthesia, praise God, I remember this. I don't remember the surgery. All I remember is going into the room, getting prepared, and then them rolling me into the surgery room. After that, I was out. But when I began to wake, I felt something coming out of my mouth, and I started praising and thanking God. Hallelujah. I'm alive. They didn't mess me up. Bless God. I didn't say that. I just said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so I heard one of the nurses or the doctors saying, what did he say? He's thanking. Yeah, because he brought me through that. So I'm saying I believed in healing before that, and it didn't manifest. It didn't mean that God didn't heal me. It just didn't manifest. So I went and I had the surgery done. But even that didn't do it. And I still believe God beyond that for healing in my knees. It wasn't a lack of faith. I just had to continue to believe until it manifests. And in November of 2014, I believe it was, it manifested. And now I protect and guard and keep my healing. Because as surely as I received it, there's an adversary known as the devil who will try and take it away. And I can sense when he's trying to do it. And I start standing on what Jesus did for me. Hallelujah. By his stripes, I am healed. And I start speaking to these knees. And I start declaring, you know, that no, I resist that in Jesus' name. You will work. You will work. You will work. Start doing stuff to them. You know, they'd be like, hey, don't do that. And I'd be like, I'm going to do it for the glory of God. You understand? So it's not necessarily that the person doesn't have faith. The healing just hasn't manifest. But the thing of it is that God heals. By his stripes we are healed. So we believe him today for healing. Amen. Doesn't matter how bad the situation is. We believe God for healing. We believe God over the doctors. We believe God over the pain, over the natural evidence that's there. We don't act like it's not there. It's there and we feel it. But we have a greater faith that overcomes it and says, by his stripes I am healed. Whatever I ask for in prayer, believe that I receive it and I'll have it. So praise be unto God. Anyways, on that note and on that subject, I'll keep you for the next 20 minutes. I'll probably not go that long. We'll see. A living faith. Now, we have to be careful in some of the things that we say because some people can take it a different way. We have, in the United States of America, we have, you know, these documents, the Declaration of Independence. We have the Constitution of the United States. I'm not going to go into all of that. But I will say that some preface them as a living document. And what I've learned and discovered what they mean by that is that it's subject to adapt to society. So if society back then was like this, the living documents themselves can change with society. What we considered bad then, if society changes and decides that it's good now, they want to change everything. Or they will try to make you think that this is exactly what they meant when they wrote it. And so this is what we're moving into. I want to talk about a living faith and the living word of God in that it does not change. Always was alive, always is alive, and always shall be. And there's no need for change because it was good in the beginning, it is good now, and it'll be good in the future. God said through the prophet Malachi, he says, I am the Lord, I change not. Now, if God changed over the period of time, he would no longer be who he is. And what he required of others, we now get away with? No, he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. He's alive because he doesn't die. His word doesn't die. Jesus says this. What does he say? He says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. Jesus also said, the Son of Man, in John chapter 3, did not come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and that men love darkness more than the light because their deeds are evil. He doesn't change. He remains constant, the same. If you read your Bible carefully, Where others may tell you, no, don't focus on the Old Testament, focus on the New Testament. If you read your Bible carefully, you will find the New Testament and the Old Testament. And the major difference is what was required to try and justify our sins only for a season, only for a moment, only for a day, only for a year. We find that those things were symbolic of one who was to come, who would be the perfect sacrifice that our sins would be blotted out forever. They were only leading up to. They were not the substance. They were symbolic of the substance. The substance is in Christ. This is why Jesus, when he came, he said, I didn't come to eliminate or destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. And that is exactly what he did when he hung suspended on that cross and said, Father, it is finished. I have done the work assigned to me. I have completed everything required of me. The psalmist prophesied concerning Jesus coming, saying, Lo, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. Sacrifice you did not want, but a body you have prepared for me. To the point where Paul in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10 records the same thing, speaks the same thing, writes the same thing to the children, the Hebrew Jews of that day and time, to let them know that Christ was the fulfillment of that. A body you have prepared for me. Now, let me take it just a step further, because Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. Dad's still seeking a body. We bring our tithes, we bring our offerings, we bring our gifts of love. We may even do charitable deeds and charitable works, but that's not what Dad is interested in. I'm not saying that it's not important to him, but that's not what he's interested in. He's interested in you and I bringing our bodies to him as a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice, but a sacrifice that is alive to the ways, the character, and the nature of Almighty God. This is why Paul goes on saying, not being conformed or fashioned according to this world any longer. We once wore, we once did, we once hung out, we once partied, we once did all of these other things. That was according to the world. That's how the world celebrates life. That's how the world enjoys life. That's how the world entertains themselves. Now we learn about a new entertainment. Now we learn about worship. Now we learn about the importance of our lives to God, how much he deeply loves us, how much he gave his best, not his worst, not his least. He gave his best to take our place in order to reconcile us back to him. Because we were separated, cut off, set apart to wickedness because of sin. We were the agents. We were the subjects of God's wrath. Because of sin. And it was so serious, it went back to original sin. How sin came into the world. We want to know how did all of this wickedness come about? It happened in the garden. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5, he says, therefore, through one man, that man was Adam, sin entered the world, and death came through sin. So sin, transgression against God, and the penalty of sin is death. God told Adam in the beginning, you can eat of every tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's in the midst of the garden. For the day that you eat thereof, you'll die. In dying, you shall die. There was immediate separation upon their eating of it. That gap was there, and it could only be filled by one who was worthy. and to fulfill the righteous requirement that God demanded of us, which we find revealed in the law. So people tell us, you know, stay away from that, because that's the, but Jesus is like, I came to fulfill that. Don't you want to know what I came to fulfill? Don't you want to know what I saved and preserved you from? Oh, we got an easy street now. We slide in by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. We slide in. When I say slide, I'm not trying to belittle our salvation or anything like that, but we come in on easy street. Why? Because all we got to do is put our faith and trust in the one who took our sin, our shame, and our punishment and nailed it to the cross, not just for now, but forever. John the Baptist described him as, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. The price for sin debt is paid. Now we have to receive the one who paid the price for us. And in that, we have not a dead Savior. He was crucified, but he's crucified no longer. He has been raised from the dead. The same one whom the promises relied upon to be fulfilled, the covenant relied upon in order to be fulfilled, in order for the covenant to come into full force, he not only had to give up his life, but now being raised from the dead to oversee this covenant that has been established between us and the Father. And it's a wonderful, awesome covenant. And it's a living covenant, and that it lives from generation to generation to generation to generation. It lives throughout all eternity. It doesn't evolve into anything else other than what it is. It's good as is. It needs no additives. Do you understand me? It needs no adding to and no taking away from. It is what it is, and it'll be that way until everything wraps up as far as the tribulation, the great tribulation, as far as the millennial reign, as far as the battle of Armageddon, as far as the final battle where Jesus deals with the adversary, Satan, and he's banished for all eternity. And then, as Paul said, the last enemy is death. And all these things will be thrown into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone day and night for eternity. This doesn't change. This was back then, since Jesus was on this earth. It was when John wrote the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. It's in force now, and it'll be in force throughout all eternity. It's just the way it is. It's alive. It's not dead. It's not a fallacy. It's not a fairy tale. It's not something that we can shove to the side and ignore. We can do that, but it's to our detriment. We can learn what's in it. When I point over here, I'm pointing about the Word of God. We can learn what's in it and then apply it to our lives and reap the benefits of it, or we can ignore it and be subject to the wrath that is to come upon all humanity and all creation. Ignorance of the Word of God is not going to put us in a better place. God is not going to overlook our ignorance. We are the most intelligent being. We train animals. We create gadgets. We have smartphones. We have smart cars. Some of those smart cars, they're not smart at all. It's like, why would the world would you want to put me in something that's no wider than this aisle right here? We have smart everything, basically. We have cars that now drive themselves. You know, in a plane, you can put it on autopilot and just, you know, they just let the plane fly. But, I mean, you're up in the air. You're not going to have all these cars crisscrossing it, running stop signs, red lights, and things like that. But they have cars now that can drive themselves on the freeway. Drive themselves in town. They know how to stop at a red light. They know how to stop at a stop sign. They know how to park and things of that nature. You know, it's like we have all of this intelligence. But in all of that, we will still be subject to the wrath of God. this won't save us. You understand what I mean? The Word of God, it lives and it abides forever. It will not change. Even though cultures and societies change, nations rise and nations fall. Right now, there are those that want the United States of America and the economy, the economic freedom and liberty that we have, they want it to fall. They want it to fall to something that is a failure in and of itself. Listen, we can just keep on living like this and we're going to see the fall. Because the fall is not because of socialism, communism, capitalism, or anything like that. The fall will come because of the depravity of humanity, which has its roots in sin, which is willful transgression against God. And if we don't repent as a nation, we'll be subject to the wrath of God. No one is excluded from that, only those who believe in Christ Jesus. Only though. What about the rest of them? This is the importance of getting the gospel out into the entire world. Jesus didn't say, well, go preach it to people who will accept it. He said, no, go preach to the entire world this gospel. Why? Because it's the only hope for mankind. And the living part of it is that what it produced then, it produces now. No matter how advanced we are in society, God's word, it will never lose its ability to change and transform a life. No matter where we are on this earth, no matter what our ethnicity, no matter what our culture is, the word of God will penetrate that and transform the individual. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice and offering you did not require, but a broken spirit and a contrite heart. These, that's what you desire. That's what the Father wants. He wants people to be repentant for their sins and their transgressions against him. And he wants people to now come alive to him so that his word, which is a living word, it's not a dead word. That word, when it comes alive, all it needs is a heart of faith. A heart that will continue to believe unto righteousness. That's the seed bed that it needs to believe in the word and to believe in the God of the word. And that word will produce change and transformation so that a person is no longer the same. Now we begin to bear the image and likeness of the one who died for our sins, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. After all, it's his righteousness that we receive that makes us righteous with God. The Bible plainly tells us our righteousness is as filthy rags. Before God, we stink. You know what the filthy rag represents. I don't mean to be gross, but the scriptures talk about a filthy rag, and it talks about the rag of a woman's menstrual. You know, that's just in the eyesight of God, our righteousness, anything we can summon up, if you will, anything we can do in our own strength, anything that we can do in our own ability, that stinks before God. If we think that's going to make us righteous, a person can say, well, I'm a good person and I do good deeds. I do good works. And standing before God, you have no chance, no case, no defense. We can't go before God based on our own efforts and what we did to become righteous. We can only go before God by having received the righteousness that he gives us through Jesus Christ that gives us now the freedom and liberty to stand before God. We can come now boldly before the throne of grace. Hallelujah. We can come as if we just did the most spectacular work, but we really did nothing. Our spectacular work was in believing in the one who did the ultimate spectacular work for us so that now we can approach God boldly. Hey, praise God. Yeah. Boldly in our faith. And receive grace. God's ability, God's power against all unrighteousness, against all wickedness, against all manner of evil. And obtain the mercy that we need. You know how it is. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And God says, my mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. Because of the one that sits at my right hand, Jesus, the righteous one. He took our sin. He took our penalty. He took our shame. He took everything. He even took the handwriting of requirement that was against us because it exposed us and it let us see how far off we are from God. It opened up our eyes to see. Paul said it like this: I never would have knew sin if it wasn't for the law. I never would have knew that covetousness was wrong in the eyesight of God except for the law. The law told me. The law tells, guess what the law tells you? You stink. Praise God. Really? Yes. You're rotten. You're corrupt. You're evil. You're more evil than what you know that you are. So here comes grace and mercy. Because of Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And God says, you're now washed. You're now cleansed. You're now justified. You're now glorified. You're now my son. You're now my daughter. You're now blessed. You're not cursed. You're blessed. And you can come to me anytime now, and I'll be there for you. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. So it's a living faith in a living word in a living God. The just shall live. And we shall live by faith. The reality of God's word, the truth of God's word, we put our hope, our trust, our confidence in it. We regulate and live our lives according to it. I hope you understand. I like to use my hands to kind of, you know, give an illustration, but sometimes it may just, I know what I'm saying, even if you don't. But I pray that the words bring understanding to you. We live, and we live by faith in the one true and living God. Dead faith produces dead worship, produces dead works. A living faith produces living worship. And worship is more than just singing songs unto the Lord. Worship is our lifestyle when we're away from each other, when we think nobody sees us, but there's worship that goes on. It's not just the songs. It's not just the prayers. It's the lifestyle that we're living. You understand that? Because in our relationship, we put off the former conduct. We put off the former lifestyle. It's like, you know, if it was clothes, it's like old clothes. Now, it's sad to say, some of the stuff that they're wearing today, we'd be ashamed to wear it back in our day. If we went outside with holes in our jeans, first of all, if we got outside the door with holes in our jeans, whew, praise God. Because our parents didn't play that. What they do? They buy patches for us. Don't go out there with holes in your jeans, holes in your shoes. Don't go out there like that. You're embarrassing me. But now it's a style. So some equate that as living, because it's according to the patterns and the fashions of the world. But we're no longer patterned and fashioned after the world. We're fashioned after the word of God. We're fashioned after Jesus. He's our style. He's our trendsetter. He's our, you know, who we want to be like. You know, I want to be like Mike, or I want to be like Beyonce, or I want to be like, you know, that kind of stuff. That's of the world. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying, the mindset of people. Now, we have to set our eyes on Jesus. I want to be like Christ. I want Christ to be fully formed within me. I don't want a miniature Christ. I want the fullness of Christ alive in me. Amen? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. much more to say, not much time to say it, but you got a post that you can read from and you can build off of it, because it's all good, because it comes from God above. Amen? He changes and transforms us. We inherit the blessing and favor of God, so that, as the psalmist said, whatsoever you do, it shall prosper. Yeah. Yeah. I want to do something. I don't know if we did it this year, but did we pray for the students that started school this year? No? You did? They didn't need mine on it on them? Y'all was praise God. I'm being facetious. Yes, if you can, quickly. If you have to leave, go ahead. Come on up here. Yeah. High schooler. Now, it was at your school. Did they say anything to you? No? And remember, I hope you didn't forget what I said at the high school. They asked them, and I'm thankful for the clarity of Sister Kianani, what pronoun do you want to be addressed as? Because that's what they're doing now. Is it gender fluidity, Minister Killings? You know, gender fluidity, and it's whatever you identify with. So, and this would never happen, but if Sister Michaela said, well, I identify with being a guy. So then, even though Minister Kino, he's not in here, Sister Kianani's down there with the kids as well, they would never address her as a guy. But the school will address her as a guy without parental consent. That's just how bad it's gotten. And so they feed on this. They're like inviting them to come into this circle of perversion, if you will. I hope you understand what I mean. They're like welcoming it. You know, how about address me by my name? You know, how about that? Let's just start there and keep it there. And that's my identity. But we're so messed up out there. And it's going to take the church to correct things, to right things by the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, anyways, Kalechi's at that high school, and I'm glad she hasn't had to confront it. Carlitos, you're at the high school now too? You're in the high school too. Okay, so we definitely need to cover you. How about you, Gabby? Sister Gabby, you're in the seventh grade? Seventh, eighth. You'll be at high school next year. She's preparing the way? Yeah. So give us time just to lay hands on these young ones, because we don't want them to be affected by any of the perversion that's going on, in particular at our public schools. But, you know, this stuff is not limited to public schools, because we have some sexual perversion in private schools as well. That's why the righteous needs to be in power, those who really believe in living a holy lifestyle. Amen. For the glory of God. How you doing there, Andre? Love you, man. And I think they've already had their first incident at school this week. But we want to cover these in the precious blood of the Lamb, that they'll have a good, successful school year. Hallelujah. That they won't be contaminated by the perversion that's going on and being spread, but they'll stand for truth and righteousness amongst their peers and amongst their teachers, even the administration. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. All right. Thank you.
Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And every child of God who agrees, shout it, amen.
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 Give God praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, right now, we pray your blessing over each and every one, that the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, divine health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will conquer the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God. You're the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord bless you and be with you everywhere you go. And may goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. In Jesus' name, shout amen.
Amen.
All right, greet one another in the name of the Lord. We love you. Make sure you greet our guests. Praise God. Make her.